experience.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
And Jarmin Leitner. Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, this morning in the studio with Dr. Danforth, and joining us on the line is Larry Williams. Again, I'm Jarmin Leitner with First Thursday Jacksonville, president of First Thursday Jacksonville and president of Harvest Intervention Services, Dr. Danforth with the Jacksonville Urban League, and Larry Williams with First Thursday Jacksonville and Anchor Global Business. Yes, yeah, so good morning, Dr. Danforth.
Good morning.
You warm?
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. You may need to say that to Larry. I think he's on the West Coast.
Buenos dias, Senor Larry.
We got Spanish speaking people all over the country, John.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, good
you're
morning.
Right.
Good morning.
Good
Happy
morning.
Happy Saturday, everybody. Happy holidays. It's December, and then I think today is, the 8th? This month is going faster this time around than that last month. Last month I was kind of dragging and steel into October while it was November. But let me move on.
You got to catch up.
I'm trying to catch up with time zones right now. As you guys know, I've been on the road quite a bit. But it's always interesting that we like to bring our listeners news and happenings from across the country, and making sure that we keep up with what's going on in Duval.
So you hadn't lost it, even though you're on the West Coast. So you still got it.
I still have it.
What about Seattle? What about your football team out there? You doing anything? I mean, we
better than the Jaguars.
Who is that Russell Wilson?
Yeah, Russell Wilson and the gang. I think people talk about. I'm glad you mentioned that, because people talk about sports, and especially football. You know, Jacksonville was two wins away from the Super Bowl last year. And I think this year we won like two games, right? It's an amazing thing that happens between seasons and how fortunes can change in football. And when you mentioned Russell Wilson, my immediate thoughts came to Blake Bortles, who's been benched by the Jacksonville Jaguars. He should never have been extended in the first place, but I'm not the general manager.
Right. Well, you know, they missed an opportunity to bring in a very good quarterback, Kaepernick.
Yes. And that was never going to happen under the management of Jacksonville. Not necessarily the owner, but the management, the guy they brought in from the New York Giants to resurrect the Jaguars. It's interesting that his deck of cards and the smoke and mirrors that he used last year seems to have all fallen apart. Even his key players that they were extremely successful last year, the running back there, and the talkative corner. So it's Ramsey. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they move forward, whether they're going to fire the coach. They've already demoted the quarterback. So now you do you start all over, or what do you do?
Well, that's for another session. We don't. I guess we can, I guess we can move on to more important things. You know,
nothing's more important than the Jaguars.
No. What about the 94 murders that we've had in Jacksonville this year, notwithstanding those that have not been classified? So if we include the ones that have not been classified, we're probably up to 115 murders in this city.
Really?
What do you mean not classified?
Right. Well, in other words, they have
murders.
Right, they're dead.
Homicide.
Yeah, they're dead, but they, but because of the process, you know, you have to classify it as a murder, rather than
an accidental death.
Et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But the folks still are dead, so we're around 115, 120 of those. We just need to, you know, just say they were murdered. Classified. Yeah. Yeah. But right. Anyway.
So is that in the coroner's office where that determination is made, or do you know?
Well, it could be FDLE, the state law enforcement agency or whatever, but who knows? But anyway, since we're talking about murders, I'm looking here at Ocala. Wow, gentleman murdered his wife, and I understand in Ocala they've had 3 domestic violence murders this year in Ocala. That's horse country. What are they doing down there? They're beating up on some folk.
And not just the horses, huh?
So these homicides, I know we talked about this at First Thursday, this past Thursday, and we had a great meeting, our December First mm-hmm. Thursday holiday meet and greet, and we talked a little bit about the jail that's downtown that could possibly be moved, but recently in the paper, they're not going to move the jail. Now, Dr. Danford, the idea was that they were going to take that location and move it to the northwest side.
To the northwest,
or just the north side.
Well, let me say this: I just cannot imagine. Do you know how much concrete is over there in that jail? Have you been over there before?
No, I haven't been to the jail.
I mean, it's solid concrete, and you need.
It
I mean,
certainly is.
You need to go there when we have a hurricane. That's probably the safest place in town.
Absolutely.
So how do you move that?
You cannot move it. It's there. I mean, now, you got to give the mayor credit. He was able to squeeze the money out of, I guess, the feds and the state to remove the overpass, the hot bridge ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, that's 2.5 years. That's going to be murderous for people having to go in that direction from downtown.
Wow.
But I'm sure they can always come across the Matthews Bridge.
So,
that's very interesting. So that is the connecting piece from downtown to what section of Jacksonville?
Well, that's to allow the humongous development around the stadium in order to do it the way they want to do it, to make it a world class project.
Mm-hmm.
They felt that they needed to remove the overhead. So we're seeing that, you know, anything is possible in this city if we put our minds to it. And I think that if we put our minds and our hearts to dealing with this crime situation, especially this task force that has been created, hopefully we can do something, but we've got to go into that process with an open mind and with the idea that we're not going to study something to death, but come up with some real solutions. Because as I look at the stats of the 94 murders, and on my sheet here, I'm looking at the murders since October, and I'm counting, and I see that 8 of these murders are African-American males. These are black males that are being killed, being shot, being whatever. Mm-hmm. And we need to do something about it.
But when you see the news, most of what you see, the pictures that you see posted for the perpetrators are African American males as well.
Oh, and I'm not saying
that's,
I'm not
that's
saying
all
that,
that's put out. I'm saying that's all who commits the crimes, well, that, but that's that, what's that being be put in the media.
That can be misleading too, John. Yes. I mean, you know, they always show yes. African Americans when they're you know, when there's a criminal activity, and on the contrary, you know, they don't show it when there's not an African American. They
Correct.
Just talk about it and don't mention the names or show the pictures. So don't let the news fool you.
Right.
Well, and of course we're accustomed to African Americans in the paper. I see where one of our assistant principals.
Yeah, Larry, assistant principal in the Duval County School System, is being indicted with is it grand theft?
For
stealing a check that wasn't signed to him, and he accepted a check and tried to deposit it and create a false account, I believe. But his face was in the paper in reference to that crime he committed. So
wow, his career is in jeopardy.
His career is over. Over, Doc.
I was trying to. We need to talk also. Hey, listen, Larry, the concealed weapons situation. A lot of people don't know what's going on, but they're trying to move where the concealed weapons permitting process is housed. So, you know, we have a new who is that lady in the agriculture commissioner? So.
Right.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. The concealed weapons stuff fall up under that office.
Her. Okay,
and so she's anti-gun under
the agriculture.
Yes, department? Yes.
Wow.
So this led. So they're trying to remove it now before before the new governor gets in. They don't want it to fall under her because she's anti-guns.
Okay.
Let me say this about this concealed weapons stuff now. Florida has the highest concealed weapons permits in the country. And you know, I have mine, but I tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to pull it out and try to save other people because they're going to shoot me.
So you have to be careful.
Stand your ground laws here.
So you better be careful with these concealed weapons permits, okay?
Right.
That's my opinion.
And not only, John, when you mentioned stand your ground, you can't be black and stand your ground because you might be dead.
Or be a security officer doing your job.
Right.
Securing the perpetrator and then be dead. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a music break. And it is a Christmas season. And we're going to listen to Mary Did You Know by Pentatonix. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
that your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation?
Do you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb?
All right. Praise God. Thank you, God, for Jesus. We are back on the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Lightner, your co-host in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford. And joining us on the line is Larry Williams, who's traveling. Well, we want to start off talking about this new partnership. We see a lot of money being allocated for mental health. At least we've seen throughout the year 2018. A lot of focus on mental health in the community, as well as in the school system, and the
opioid epidemic.
In the opioid epidemic, okay, right. They put money towards helping the opioid and crime. There was money allocated
this year, right?
And there's another partnership that's been launched between Baptist Health and the former Jaguars owner. Is that correct, Weaver?
Yes.
Dolores Weaver. $2.2 million. That's going to go to help mental health needs across Northeast Florida, and they're going to go to nonprofits that already have projects that address mental or behavioral health issues.
Well, go ahead, Lara.
I was going to just ask the same thing you asked. Are there any of those dollars being directed towards the urban core of Jacksonville, and specifically, you know, folks that underserved in the Duval County?
Yeah, I think I'm sure that many of the services will be provided in the Northwest area. I don't know how many existing mental health entities that are in the Northwest area, so.
Well, it sounds like they already have the nonprofits that they have identified. It says some that have projects already ongoing that they will probably allocate the money to.
Did they identify the agencies that are going to receive the funding?
They haven't listed any agencies. No agency
names.
No,
the application process is beginning now. I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah, but
wink, wink.
So within the next 12 to 24 months is when that's the goal for them to spend the money.
Sure.
In order to help with direct services, advocacy, and training
throughout the community. Well, Larry, when it's your money, you can decide where it goes, right?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
I mean, this is not the government, so
right.
So.
Well, my hope is that they will focus a lot on early intervention to be more preventative with this $2.2 million instead of being reactive.
You said they are?
No, I said my hope is that they will focus on being preventative.
Well, you need to call them up, John, and tell them that.
Focus on early intervention. Get them young.
Tell them Harvest Intervention is ready to step in and be a service.
Yes, is these young children,
maybe
they deal with socially.
Somebody in the African American community can get a few dollars out of that.
Well, like we talk about, Larry, all the time, when we start young, you know, these young children, ages 3 and 2 years old, they deal with a lot of social emotional challenges and behaviors that, if they go unaddressed, by the time they're in middle school and high school, it's out of control. So,
this past week, I attended, a town hall meeting over at the Legend Center with youth. They had a speak out. Talking about what we need to do, adults, as it relates to crime in the city. And, of course, they were insisting that they are allowed to provide feedback. They feel strongly that no one is including them in the conversation and in determining you know, the strategies that should be developed to help alleviate some of the crime in these communities. So we're looking at ways to be more inclusive with our youth. I think it's a valid point. We need to reach out to the young folk because young folks.
I think we need to do more than reach out. Though I think they need to be included. And my next question was going to ask you: are there any young people involved in the task force that you're working on?
Yes. Well, we haven't started yet, but I understand we have at least two youth that will be a part of this crime and safety task force, most definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and sometimes, you know, as adults and, you know, especially, you know, folks that are in another generation, we think we know everything and know what's best for the young people when we need to have their inclusion to make sure that we're implementing things that they're going to respond to.
Yes, and as Duval County Schools continues to try to take care of their crime and keep that to a minimum.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean take care of their crime?
With the school safety officers, crime prevention.
Well, I go back.
They are getting some pushback, though. They have some.
I know, because everything goes into the public school system, and I'm asking the question. You know, are the charter schools and the private schools required to have safety officers? All I'm saying is there needs to be a fairness. I believe that the more we do more activities like this sends a negative stereotypical message about the fact that our schools are not safe. You know what I mean? It's a public relations thing.
Exactly, Doc.
We're constantly putting down the public school system. You know, we have a very
that's where all the poor and disadvantaged students are. So it's almost like a prison.
Not all of them aren't like that, Larry.
It just depends on the
neighborhood.
Yes, why do you think they got those portable metal detectors out there that they don't use?
Well, this particular lawsuit is against the school safety officers. They're saying that it puts the children more
against them or against the program.
Against Duval County Public Schools. Because
the program. Not the officers themselves, the program.
Right. So but they are still advocating and pushing for the school resource officers. I think there's another county it's Pasco and maybe Pinellas that also are pushing for the school resource officers, but other counties in Florida actually have law enforcement. So, you know, this organization, they've partnered with the Giffords Law Center to prevent gun violence to stop this. So there's a lawsuit because they say that it's not safe and the wisest decision to put untrained people in the school system with weapons.
Well, they're training. They receive a number of hours of safety training.
Training, you be comfortable with me? Protecting?
No, I
wait. No,
wait. No, seriously, because you can get all the training you want, but when there's a situation, you know, where life and death is, I don't think you'll be able to respond.
You don't think
to
I would?
I think you know what they say: flight. They say fight or flight.
Yes,
I think you would run
with my weapon, right?
Right. I think you're hiding the closet.
You know what? I think you're right. I probably would. I think I need a little more training. Maybe some years.
No, there's some of us shouldn't be trained.
Right, but seriously, what is this? This is December, right?
Right.
And these officers that were supposed to be trained and placed in the school. And this would be a good question for the superintendent. You know, if we can ever get a hold of her.
She's receptive to us now. Don't say that.
Well, I mean, you know, if she's receptive, tell her to come on. Let's talk about some of this stuff. I want to find out about how many of those positions have been filled and what are the answer to Jama's question about whether we should have a safety officers or actual police in the schools. What's the difference? Is there a cost thing that's preventing having police versus the safety officers?
Yes, there is. And my another question I have, if the pool of applicants is minimal, based on the criteria, maybe they should increase the salary or the hourly rate and maybe more qualified.
What are they getting paid, $12 an hour?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Who's going to respond to that? Come on.
$12 an hour. So,
maybe what we'll do.
You're going to hire $12 an hour staff or service officers to protect our students. Come on.
So what were you going to say, Dr. Devitt?
The person over at the school system who is responsible for the resource officers, why don't we reach out and have that person come on and speak to it?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, there's someone that's over the school.
Yes,
resources.
rather than calling the superintendent, there's someone responsible for this, and okay, maybe we can get that person on.
Let's try it. It might be like trying to get somebody from the city to do it, but that's okay. I'm sorry.
But anyway, we just want to just stay mindful to, just watch out for things that look suspicious. You know, students have to, you know, kind of take ownership as well, you know, while they're in the school. I know there's a saying that, you know, snitches get stitches, but, you know, you just have to.
Snitches get stitches.
You have to tell. When you see something that's inappropriate and that can cause problems or violence, then, you know, we have to speak up. And notify
spoken
our
like
teachers.
Spoken like a true adult.
Spoken like a true. Do you tell your grandchildren that, Larry?
What?
They need to speak up and speak out when they see.
I don't.
Okay. All right. Well,
I don't live their lives.
All right. Well, we're gonna take a break. We have another music break, and this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
Calling
All right. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner, your co-host in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford, along with Larry Williams, joining us on the line. I did want to just mention that, I don't know, Dr. Danford, if you heard about this new Ready Ride that JTA is offering. It's like Uber and Lyft, those companies, and there's no app. You just need to call, and it's only $2 per person per trip. So I thought that was kind of right on time for the holiday season for those who, you know, mm-hmm. utilize that transportation.
$2 per trip?
Per person, per trip.
Right. So where do they take you? Anywhere you want to go?
Yes, it's like Uber and Lyft.
Oh. Yeah, plus they open up, Larry, since you've been away, they open up the flyer from downtown to the beaches. And that, the bus flyer, that's what they call it.
Oh, okay.
Right, it's not actually flying, but, you know, it's called.
Okay, hey, look.
Yeah.
So
it's not an elephant flying with wings.
So they extended the route to Jack's Beaches,
yes.
And then they added this additional Ready Ride service for the community.
Plus they received quite a bit of money for what do you call these vehicles without a driver?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, okay.
The technology. I guess they're going. I guess we're going to have everything without anyone driving now.
Wow. The buses and the shuttles.
That Ford over there, he's doing a great job, isn't he?
He's kicking for sure.
Well, yes.
Yeah. As I travel across the country, he's one in transportation. He's one of the most talked about guys around, you know, so CEOs in transportation. So he must be doing a great job over there.
Okay, and he's the one responsible for developing the cars that
yes,
drive automatically?
Yes, okay. Yes, it's going to be great. Now that,
That's all you had to say. That's it. He lost his train of thought. Larry, I know off the air you said.
I keep thinking about the stadium, Larry, and all of the opportunities. This opportunity zone. You're familiar with that, right, Larry?
Yes. And that's an interesting deal. And Dr. Jarmin, doing some quick research on this opportunity zone deal. These opportunity zones are designed to create tax breaks and incentives to upgrade the undeveloped communities and areas within the within large cities and Jacksonville and throughout Florida. This has been one of Governor Scott's staple items as he's transitioning out of the governor's office. I think he can't get out. So he's still there until January, and I guess he's not leaving until then. But one of his pet projects has been these opportunity zones. And there over the Northeast Jacksonville, they have quite a few of those zones that have, and especially in Northeast Florida, Jarmin, there's 34 census tracts that are designated opportunity zones. 19 in Duval County.
Whoa.
Okay. And, 19 in Duval County.
Out of the 32?
Out of the 34. And they're designed, the programs are designed for stimulating economic investment in low-income urban and rural communities. Okay. And they are also designated as to provide local tax incentives. And that's for developers and investment folks who ordinarily would invest into those low-income areas, okay? So I was interested, Doc, that the tracts that they identified, the census tracts, okay? So everybody's listening, kind of do your little math here and there, and you can find this on News 4 website. But these tracts include two in the Cecil Commerce Center area, Arlington and Mayport. All right. In downtown Jacksonville, the Shipyards, Metropolitan Park, TIAA Bank Field all fall into those designated areas. Okay. So on the east side, the urban communities, that are designated opportunity zones include Eastside, Durkeyville, the Rail Yard District, St. Nicholas, New Springfield, Brentwood, Norwood, La Fonda, and Mixontown, and the Phillips Highway Corridor north of Emerson Street. So they were, you know, these were selected due to their infrastructure and ability to absorb private capital and having community redevelopment agencies. So, you know, if you're out there and you're in those areas, you need to start contacting your local politicians, you know, your council members and the mayor's office, and finding out how you can get involved, how your organization can get involved, and then start securing your own investment group and participating in these. These are going to provide huge tax incentives.
Well, Larry, okay. Who do you call? Who do we contact in the? Is this a city? Is this the city or the state?
No, you start with your local council members. They know about it. They're the ones who have put this deal together, and they're, you know, it emanates from the governor's office down to the mayor and then through the city council. So if you want these things, help with these things, go to the mayor's office. I would start there. Okay.
So
because they're designed to increase.
Are you going to be able to? Are you going to be able to get an appointment, Larry? You telling people to go?
I'm going to try.
Well, I'm saying it's one thing to, you know, to push out this information. Well, anyway, let's see if we can get some meetings scheduled then. How about that?
There you go.
Okay.
I mean, you know, always, you know, nothing beat a failure but a try, right? and you know, we have some investment dollars to, you know, to leverage. So, you know, let's put our little pennies together and rub our nickels and see if we can't go down and at least go in the areas that where we're comfortable and find projects, identify projects, and see what happens.
Okay. I like that. Let's do it.
Well, speaking of investment dollars, we talked a little bit about, you know, marketing and accounting again at our first Thursday meeting this past Thursday that was at 5:30. And, you know, we're coming up on the end of the year, and as small businesses, we have to get our accounting and our books together. And one of the challenges that was identified is just, again, that working capital. So to even mm-hmm. be able to have investment money as a small business owner, you have to have working capital to grow your business in order to have enough capital for investments.
And so how do you prepare yourself?
Yeah, you have to prepare yourself with your books, like the finances. You have to have your business plan together. You have to make sure that your profit and loss is up to date on a month to month basis, and that your balance sheet and all your cash flow. And as a small business owner, that some of that may sound a little foreign because it can become a little more detailed. But we have organizations like the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville that assist small business owners with that type of information.
That's a very good.
That's good information, and I really enjoyed that meeting Thursday, as you know, the participants discussed the opportunities and challenges of being a small business owner, and most of our small businesses are small budgeted, and as Jarman pointed out, one of our biggest needs is capital infusion into our businesses, and perhaps this is something that we can talk about and leverage with these opportunity zones. You know, the thing with these opportunity zones and Jarman, you're talking about the small business, and those are two different deals, okay, where we're talking about the operating capital versus investment. Investment capital stems from dollars that are already in your bank account, dollars, discretionary dollars that you can take and invest into long-term projects. And that's what these opportunity zones are. If you look at the types of things that are being proposed, like the shipyard projects and the others, as Doc mentioned, they're tearing down the a bridge there. That those are things that are long-term plans that the city and the county have been working on for years to try to take that down. But their vision has already been in place. You know, they have the 2025 plan. Okay, go down mm-hmm. in the city and look at it. But you go down there, and these plans, you have to get in front of the development in these zoned opportunity zones and not behind it. I don't know whether we've already too late to get involved, because these decisions are made, as we pointed out, at the state level and filtered down to the cities and counties. So, but if you feel like you have a project and you can secure independent investors that want to invest in some of these areas, now is the time to at least try to get some of the dot points out, some of the crumbs, if not that fall off the plate, because we're not going to get the pie.
Doesn't be content with some of the crumbs.
Some of the crumbs. Well, I feel like I'm in the pot. I'm being stirred up.
Oh, okay, you being stirred up.
Well, but for all seriousness, you know, these things are happening around us, and we need to be aware so that when we go down and talk to the mayor, even if you know, I'm sure that we probably won't get an audience with the mayor, but he has people that are appointed to meet with us, if nothing else, and smile and say no. So, you know, but if we don't go down and hold them accountable, at least to the fact that we know that these things exist and that we want to participate, we'll never know whether they are intended for us or not.
Okay, yes, well, we're going to count, before we take a break, we're going to count on you to get an appointment.
And we are coming right? up on our Entrepreneur Corner, and if you are a small business owner, that you want to let our community know about your services or products, you can call in at 296-2251. That's 296-2251. And we'll be back in just a moment.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9.
Made some mistakes, and I am to blame. I know you can change me. So here I am, crying out, Lord, please save me this time. I know you can. So here.
yes, Lord, bless my soul. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, and I am Jarmin Leitner, your co-host in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford, and on the line with us is Larry Williams, and this is our Entrepreneur Corner, where our small businesses have an opportunity to call in and promote and market their business and any services or products that they offer, as well as any events that may be coming up, and we do have a faithful caller, Michael Cobb, on the line. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing wonderful.
Yeah, we have got a great sale at Accentuate this weekend. All the ladies' dresses are 40% off.
Okay, so the ladies' dresses are on sale this weekend. And Michael, we thank you so much for attending our first Thursday meeting this past Thursday. And we talked a little bit about marketing and you know, questions arise, you know, why don't more small businesses get involved, you know, with opportunities such as this to call in, and you simply said they don't see the value in it. So, as small businesses, is there anything that you would say as far as the value of marketing and taking advantage of opportunities that are at no cost at this time?
Yeah, thanks, Jarmin. The value of marketing is branding. So when you do something on a consistent basis, you just brand yourself. And through branding, people build trust. And so hopefully people will take advantage of this opportunity because it's an excellent opportunity to get a great shout-out on your business.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much, Michael. And have a great Saturday.
All right. Same to you. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, John, and I'm going to chime in on that because, you know, as a small business coach and mentor, you know, I always stress to our clients that you know, when you're dealing with advertising, marketing, and so forth, people get a little bit confused. They hear the word marketing and they think that's the catch-all phrase and for everything that they do in their business. But there are different areas and levels of marketing. And for most small business owners, we don't have large budgets to go out and do advertising. Public relations as the larger companies do. So we have to be more creative and programs like this that offer at no cost the opportunity to, you know, give a business an opportunity to promote their businesses, reaching, you know, thousands of people is something that is basically unheard of in the general community. So if you're sitting not back now and you have a business and you're not calling in and promote your business, just say one thing, shame on you, because it's a great opportunity to reach those people who will buy your products and services. So 296-2251, if you're out there and you want to shout your business out. I'm not trying to call people out, but I am.
Okay, so we do have another caller on the line, and that's Miss Terry.
Yes, Terry Jones, along with my husband Thomas Jones of TJ and TJ Insurance Agency. We are a family, help the family to have financial success, has to create a budget, become debt-free, get properly insured, and have several streams of income during retirement. We're located at 5785 Wilson Boulevard, Suite Number 1, and the number to call is 904-619-6686. So if you need insurance, auto insurance, home insurance, flood insurance, renter's insurance, Medicare, affordable health care, we are a full-service insurance agency.
Okay, so does that include liability in general,
yes.
Liability insurance? Okay,
yes.
You all offer that as well. Okay, and what's that number again?
904-619-5686.
Okay, 5686.
Yeah, we need to make certain we get some flood insurance.
Okay, thank you so much, Terry, for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right.
And if you're out there listening and you want to shout out 296-2251, again, we're reaching thousands of people. If you want to get your message out, our supporter
they're calling in, Larry.
7.9 is Henry Hoot, and he's making this available through with Urban League and First Thursday. This was a great opportunity. So 296-2251.
Okay, Larry, and we do have another caller this morning. Okay, Miss Kelly. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Okay, so share with us your business.
Yes, my name is Kelly Gardner. I have a gift basket business here in Jacksonville, Florida. The name of the business is Gideon's Basket, a gift basket company. Okay. I do gift baskets for all occasions, individual and corporate. Currently, if you like my page, Gideon's Basket, on Facebook, you will get 10% off a gift basket for Christmas. I will deliver within a 30-mile radius.
Okay. What's in the basket? Not donuts,
whatever,
right?
Whatever you want.
Whatever
you want. They're custom made. They're individual. So if you have someone that you know that likes certain things, just let me know. Give me a list, and I'll make it up for them. The number to contact me, you can text me or call me at 904-422-4258.
4258.
How long does it take to get the basket delivered?
If within a week. If I can get a 7-day, if you can call me within 7 days, I can get it to you within 7 days. But again, I will deliver within a 30-mile radius of the North Jacksonville area.
Okay.
So if we want it by Christmas, we need to start our orders in then, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, you can contact me at 904-422-4258, or you can contact me via Facebook at Gideon's Basket.
So you deliver yourself. You don't have Amazon delivering out. Uber, UPS. What do you have? You actually bring in the baskets?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. That's what I call personal service.
Cool. Yes, as a small business owner. All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Kelly.
With Gideon.
And tell Ms. Kelly to come out to the first Thursday meetings on the first Thursday of each month except in January.
Okay.
Okay, yes. We have our first Thursday meetings every month, the first Thursday of every month except for this January, so we're just inviting you out. It's a great opportunity to learn as a small business owner and also network.
Okay, that sounds awesome. I'll do it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right, so we got some small business owners calling in to promote their business this morning because it is definitely
296-2251. I know John and Doc, don't we have some things from... I know Harvest needs looking for employees, and the Urban League has some special programs coming up next week.
Yes, absolutely. Harvest Intervention Services. We are a developmental and behavioral health care service provider in the area of pediatrics, so young children, ages birth to 8 years old, and we are hiring. We're looking for certified early childhood educators. We're looking for those who have experience in the field of working with young children, and they have a bachelor's or a master's degree in psychology or social work. And so we have some great opportunities also for board certified behavior analysts and registered behavior technicians. So if you are looking for an opportunity, you can give us a call at 904-595-6516 or visit harvestinterventions.com. We also are enrolling for our VPK specialized instructional services for 4-year-olds who have an individualized education plan, and we're offering psychological testing. So visit harvestinterventions.com.
Great.
All right. What's going on at the Urban League, Dr. Danford?
Well, we're moving right along. I tell you. We're trying to get through 2018.
Well, we only have a short time for that. So
this has been an interesting year, to say the least. My goodness, we've had an election! My God.
Hey, Doc, don't you have the Springfield holiday party coming up this
Monday?
Right, yes, we have the social over at the Wells Fargo Center. The Historic Springfield Learning Center on the second floor, Main Street. We'll be there Thursday. We need you to RSVP. It would help us with the numbers. But
great.
Yeah, but certainly if you just want to stop by, please feel free to do so. And that's Thursday.
Is there a number to call for RSVPs, or do we have to do it online?
Have them call 355-2091. 355-2091.
And what time does the event begin?
Probably from 6 to 8.
Okay, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Historic Springfield
Center. Right, and the great thing about this is they utilize all of the small businesses in the Springfield area.
Oh, that's good. You know, right.
The restaurants. So, yes. So we'll have a potpourri of food sources.
Are you going to get your gumbo?
I'm going to get the shrimp and grits.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Not the salmon croquette, is that? But the shrimp and grits.
No, salmon croquette. My salmon croquette lady, she's looking for salmon, I guess. I haven't seen.
We need to find you a restaurant with some salmon croquettes. We need to find you some.
I attended last year, and it was a really nice event. And Wells Fargo Center, Wells Fargo people do a great job of support the community through that Springfield Center, and the Urban League does a wonderful job of managing and keeping it open for the community to utilize. So, but there's an opportunity to come out and meet and greet and also network.
Yes, and I just wanted to circle back and give out that website where those opportunity zones are broken down.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Danford, it's moderncities.com.
So moderncities. We've